5-6 in service, starting mileage 6,587, 6587. Officers Perkins and Good.
Check 5-6, 6:09 p.m., starting night watch.
This is Don, assistant reporting in service on the night watch. You're going to ride with us tonight. Just where, your guess is as good as mine. But just remember one thing. The people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to car 5-6 on patrol and your police recorder, Don Reed.
Control on to all units. All units in the vicinity and car 5-2 at 8700 Maple. That's 8700 Maple at 211 just occurred. Ambulance follow up. 5-2, your call code 3. 5-6, your call code 2, 6:14 p.m.
5-6, 10-4.
We're rolling on a 211. That's a holdup.
Ambulance
has been dispatched. That indicates that someone has been shot or injured. In a matter of seconds, we'll be on the scene. No way of telling what we're going into. The uniform car will be coming in from the north. We're swinging in from the south. Light tonight gives us an opportunity to check the incoming cars. Just an outside chance, but there's always the possibility to observe a fast-moving car which might be connected with a holdup. One more block to go. It's the liquor store on the corner. We're wheeling into the curb. Heading into the store. Border officer just rolled up. Bill Hurd. Man lying on the counter. Blood flowing from a head wound. Broken bottles. Smell of beer and whiskey.
We got an ambulance coming in.
Thank you, Ryan.
I don't know if you got that. Victim has been hit over the head with a hammer.
But Dad, I wouldn't let him go. See, I had to fight him. He finally ran out. He went up Culver Boulevard running. Yeah, man about 40, 45, sort of grayish brown hair, and sort of blue clothes, blue suit on, light blue, and very extremely nervous. He ran up the street.
Light blue suit?
Yeah.
Glasses or a hat or anything?
No, nothing.
Which one? By himself, what kind of a gun?
No gun. He hit me, I turned my back and he hit me over there with a hammer. He was going to hit me again and I started fighting him and wrestled him.
That's not your hammer.
How tall is he?
He's about 5'10".
5'10"? Gray brown hair. 5'10", how well does he weigh?
He weighed about 160 or 70.
Okay, which way did he go? North?
He went right up this way.
Now about 45 years of age.
In car?
On foot. On foot. Perkins is putting it out on the air right now.
Border officer is taking off to cover the area. Suspect is possibly on foot. District uniform car coming in.
Directions they go?
He went east on Culver running by himself, one man, white male American, 45 years, gray brown hair, light blue suit, 5'10", 160 pounds. We have the hammer in here. It's not a armed robbery. It's 211 slugging.
Over to our car to radio information.
5-6 to all units. The description on this 211 slugging. Male white American, 45 years of age, wearing a light blue suit. Gray brown hair,
While the sergeant's sending that description out over the air to our other units in the field, let's get back into the liquor store here and check out the man who has been injured.
Cameron of the district uniform car talking to the victim.
Anything around here? The tester register wiped everything he touched. Except the hammer. I wouldn't let it go. And he says, I want your money. I said, I haven't got any. He says, I want it. So to pacify him, I said, well, let's get it on the register. And I kept holding on to the hammer, and so did he. So he came over this far, and he says, open the register. I said, oh, no, I'm not letting go of this. So I said, press the blue button. So he pressed the blue button, and the register opened. He grabbed whatever was in there. And so with his other hand, he started wiping it out with a handkerchief. And I was getting kind of weak from the blow, so I started shouting at him, get out of here, get out of here. So finally he got scared and he ran out. I ran out, sort of dizzy-like, and I said, I better call a cop. So I did, and that was it.
And you'll know him again when you see him.
Oh, yes, I saw him before. He's been around here, I'm sure.
He's been around here, sir?
Yes, he's been around here. Because, you see, I recognized, I said hello, and he says, I said, can I help you? He says, oh.
How much money did you get?
He must have taken about 10, 15, 20, 30. Took about $30.
$30 on your person?
No, he couldn't even touch me. I was holding on to the hammer the minute he was since he hit me.
Oh, you're holding on to the hatchet.
See, what happened was, he asked me to get the beer, and I, like a fool, turned my back and started reaching for the thing. I just knew it was coming, and pow, he hit me with everything. I fell to the floor, and I was surprised I woke up. So I turn around, and there he is. He leaps down on top of me and starts swinging. I grabbed his arm, then I grabbed the hammer, and we started going around. We smashed the beer. I kicked him. So we both wrestled over here, and he opened this, asked me how to open this, and that was it. Then I scared him by saying, you better get out of here before someone comes in, and he left. But I still held on the hammer.
Think his prints will be on there, Sergeant?
I don't think so, Don. It's a pretty rough hammer. It's a little ball-peen hammer. He got hit over the head. The blunt end of it. We'll take it out and try it anyway for prints.
Well, let's hope. That sounds like the ambulance right now. Let's hope there are prints on that. Sounds like them rolling in now. Here they are. Here comes the ambulance rolling in. Two attendants coming in the store with a first aid kit.
Lucky he didn't kill me. He had
examining the wound.
Chance to hit me as hard as he wanted to. Is it all right?
Oh,
is it? Oh, it's swell.
Lieutenant Machado is over here now to take charge. Sergeant Perkins is bringing him up to date.
I said this. Lieutenant Olson been notified that they've not had
yet. The fellow that got hit here said that this man wiped all of his fingerprints off of everything he touched in here except for the hammer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The hammer's on down at the station.
Right.
And we can preserve that down there for Lieutenant Olson.
Right. Well, we'll get a teletype out.
Right.
See if
he got about, what was it?
Said $30.
$30 in cash.
$30 in cash. Has Lieutenant Tomlin notified you?
Not yet.
I'll notify Lieutenant Tomlin.
Fine.
Right.
Right on. We'll handle it from here and let the car make the rest of the report.
Let's get back to the car. We have the weapon with us. The hammer used by the suspect to slug his victim. It's tied to a string so as not to smudge any of the prints. So, let's get back to police headquarters and the Fingerprint Bureau. Here at the station, Sergeant Perkins is getting out an APB, an all-points bulletin on the suspect. Meanwhile, we're heading for the Fingerprint Bureau. See if there's anything turned up on the weapon yet. Lieutenant Olson and Officer Cameron are kneeling down on the floor, dusting the hammer. Let's see if they've done any good.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Well.
Good.
Any chance of any prints?
Well, I believe we'll have some partial prints here at least.
Mm. Golly, that looks like a good one up high.
Well, all that depends on what we can find when we left it.
Mm.
Stuff of getting it off of wood isn't too satisfactory, but
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty good finish on this handle. It's practically new.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that
That's a black powder you're putting on her. What type of powder is that, Lieutenant?
Well, it's specially prepared fingerprint powder. Uh-huh. Made out of lamp black. You get a lot of different things in it. Rosin. Anything that makes it adhere to the...
For its sake, son, a sort of a grayish color now. Will you photograph? And I noticed there's several smudges coming out here and there. Will you photograph that, and the result will be a fingerprint?
That's right. And, of course, we lift it and preserve it in that manner. We take it off of the article.
Well, so far we have the suspect down to a local. The victim is a holdup. It says that he's seen the victim at least three times in the last 6 months.
In the area?
In the area and in the store. All connections with him have been in the store.
The victim, Don, has he gone home or is he back at work?
He's been taken to the hospital, Lieutenant.
The hammer certainly has prints on it. I don't. We'll have to check them against the victim. If he was wrestling for this hammer, his prints may be the ones that come out good on here. However, we'll be able to tell as soon as we get the victim's prints.
Yeah.
This string that was tied on that hammer to pick it up and to bring it in here was one of the smartest things that the investigating officer could do. Ordinarily, you see, or at least in fiction, the detective will pick an article up that he's bringing into the eye bureau, into the crime lab. He'll pick it up in a handkerchief or a piece of paper, and that definitely ruins, or stands a good chance of ruining the print. But the way this was prepared, tying a string around so that it would balance, and he carried it in, not having touched it at all, I'm satisfied that I have the prints of either the suspect or the victim, because they wrestle for that hammer.
Well, all I can say is the bulk of it, I hope, is our boy.
That's right.
I hope so. Well, I want to head on down, so thanks a million, Lieutenant.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Well, let's get back to Sergeant Perkins' office, see what's doing.
Check out the marijuana?
Yeah, we'll take a run over there. I know where the address is. Okay, I'll leave a report on your desk. Okay, right.
Hi.
Hi, Don. Well, we've done about all we can on that 211. Lieutenant Collin just called and gave us another assignment.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, he got a report back from a crime lab about some leaves found in a man's jacket. Seems it turned out to be marijuana.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. The people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to car 5-6 on patrol and to police recorder Don Reed.
In a moment, we'll be at the location where we are to interrogate the owner of a small dry cleaning establishment. Now, this is the information we have to go on. A man entered this store last week and left a jacket to be cleaned. An unusual type leaf was found in the pocket, which aroused the suspicion of the store proprietor. Of course, this was only a supposition on the owner's part until he notified the detective bureau and the samples were sent to the crime lab for analysis. Results? The leaves found were definitely marijuana. Well, here we are.
Our job now, locate the owner of the jacket in which the narcotics were found. Inside the store.
I'm Sergeant Perkins. Identification. Do you have some information?
Now, as to any further identification of who, what, or
you
where,
phone call
we're going to have to leave that part unsaid.
Phone call.
So, the fellow over jacket in the pocket.
Was in the pocket.
We sent it down to the Los Angeles County Crime Lab, and there was sufficient leaf on this, on these twigs, to show that it was marijuana. When we run across stems, it indicates usually one of two things. Either that the person that has the stems is, has access to the plant itself growing someplace, or that he has had sufficient quantity that he has refined or used the leaf and didn't bother to get rid of the stem. They don't smoke the stem. They use the leaf of the seed. Usually indicates a pretty big deal. It's not just an average run-of-the-mill marijuana smoker. Now, whether or not the boy is smoking or pushing or has access to it, that's something we've got to find out. And we have run into some narcotics locally, which some young people are involved in, and it may tie into it.
Well, if I can help in a way, I will.
All right, well, thanks a million.
We appreciate your cooperation. We know where he works, so we're going to go over there and have a little talk with him. Thanks very much. Good night.
This fellow works around here somewhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, he works at the gas station right around the corner down here. We'll swing around and back and see if this car is there. If it is, then we'll go in and talk to him.
Yeah.
This is it right over here.
Yeah. See, is that the license number?
Yeah, that's his car back there. Let's go shake the car down. It's behind the building there. He can't see us.
Yeah. Okay. Anything that may indicate use of marijuana. Working now in the back of the back seat.
Three seeds. Four seeds.
Marijuana seeds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right along the crack of the door here, see them?
Let's see.
See right here? There's one there.
Yeah.
There's one there.
Yeah. That means he's been blasting here in the car, doesn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Look, see, there's one here and one here.
Mm-hmm.
There's two more there, right at the crack of the door.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take these two for evidence. We're going to leave these two in here.
Right.
So when we get the boy, we're going to show him that we found some seeds in the car.
Right.
Got it?
Check.
Okay.
Let's go around and have a little talk with this fellow.
Right. What is that?
It's a cat.
Is that what it is?
He knows we're coming now, anyway.
Boy, gosh, it jumped like I was shot. I'll get around the building here now. Service station is directly ahead. Let's move across the lot now to where the suspect is working.
You the fellow that owns the car out there in the back?
Yeah.
We're police officers. Step inside. We want to talk to you.
Moving into the building. Suspect appears rather nervous. Short, heavy build. Hands covered with grease. He's wiping them off in a rag. Reaching for a cigarette.
Black sedan? You driving it tonight?
Huh?
You're the one that drives it? No, I'm not surprised at that. See those two little seeds?
Yeah.
They came out of your car tonight. There's more of them still in the car. That's marijuana. Do you want to start telling us about it, or shall we tell you what we know?
Well, sir, I haven't had anything to do with it.
You haven't?
I used to run around with fellas that have, but I haven't myself. Because I haven't gotten in any trouble at all.
I'm not saying you got any trouble. I'm telling you had narcotics. You use them. You blast.
Oh, sir.
Found these marijuana twigs in your coat pocket. These marijuana seeds in your car. There's more of them in there. I have to take you over and show them in your car. What about it?
Well, sir, those don't belong to me.
Where'd they come from?
Well, I don't know. There might have been somebody got in my car or something.
There might have been. But there wasn't. And take that car of yours and throw it to the state. Impound it on the narcotics violation. The state will seize it.
Well, sir, those seeds, I haven't the faintest idea how they've been in there. I used to do that, but it's been about 4 or 5 months since I have.
When's the last time you blasted?
About then.
What made you stop?
I just have decided that it's not doing me any good at all.
Where do you get your stuff from? Who?
Well, what I used to do, we used to just go down to Mexico again.
Whereabouts in Mexico?
Tijuana.
Who's we?
Oh, me and anybody else that could go.
Blasting your car?
We did it a couple of times.
Front or back seat?
In the front seat, I think.
Well, we found seats in the front and back.
Well, I don't know how they got in the back seat.
Well, you're in a spot right now. Well, when you go down to Mexico and get the stuff, what kind of stuff do you get? Get it with twigs in it? Mm. What do you pay for it?
$15 or so.
How many roaches you make out of stuff you buy?
I don't know.
I don't believe you didn't say the last time you blasted. Those seeds are too fresh for that.
Well, somebody else has dropped them in my car.
But don't you think it's a little unusual for us to, if you haven't blasted in the last 3 or 4 months, that all of a sudden we get an investigation on it? We start going. We find marijuana in your car and marijuana in your jacket pocket.
Well, sir, I don't know why they were investigating anybody would investigate me.
Mr. Kakadich. Happens to be against the law.
I was, sir. I'm not anymore.
How often did you blast?
Just on weekends, Jason.
How many did you blast at a time?
A couple.
Well, the state of California will seize any car which narcotics have been transported in. All they need is one little seed. We just brought two in to show it to you. We go back and finally get about 30 or 40 out of that car the time we get through. That's a lot of cigarettes, a lot of roaches.
Well, sir, I'll admit it.
And you're going to be booked on a possession charge. Possession of narcotics. Get your coat on. Let's go on down to the station.
Here at police headquarters, the officers are busy making out reports, so let's go on into the detention room and talk for a moment with the young suspect that was picked up a short while ago. Glancing through the bars, his father is talking with him. Apparently they're through. They're just getting up. Let's go on in.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about your arrest. Would you like to discuss it?
Yes, I would.
Let's come right to the point. Why did you start smoking marijuana?
Well, I think it just... sometimes you feel, you know, there's not much to do. And it doesn't seem to do much for you. And I don't know, I guess it was just something to do.
Mm-hmm. How does smoking one of these marijuana cigarettes affect you?
Well, just kind of shuts things out from you. So just has sort of a deadening effect. It doesn't, things aren't as sharp or as clear as they usually are.
Did you try to use this as a means of escape from everyday problems?
Well, I don't think that was the reason I started. I was, I guess I got running around with the wrong friends and... It was just everybody seemed like that was doing it.
Okay. I want to talk with your father for a moment. Sir, in just a few moments, this young fellow will be transferred down to Juvenile Hall, where he'll be held pending court action. How do you think he got started smoking marijuana?
Curiosity, probably.
Mm-hmm.
If curiosity was what led youngsters in the teenage group to try marijuana... why doesn't that same curiosity take them to Juvenile Hall? to see some of the results. I just hope maybe they'll try that rather than the marijuana.
Thanks very much.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually occurred on The Night Watch. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
The suspect in the robbery and assault case tonight is still at large. Our detective bureau is continuing the search, and every police department has been alerted to watch for a suspect answering his description. When this suspect is taken into custody, he will be charged with 211 Penal Code, the penalty of which is not less than 5 years. In the final case, where a young man was charged with violation of the State Narcotics Act, the subject was booked on Section 11-502 of the Health and Safety Code. Even more important than the arrest of this suspect was his personal realization that further contact with marijuana could lead to his possible addiction of an even more dangerous narcotic such as heroin and ruin his entire life. Night Watch is the result of many grueling hours of work and exposure to considerable danger to take you to the scene of action. But we are doing so for a purpose. You are hearing for the first time the decisions and problems your law enforcement officers must face in the field. If we succeed in bringing this message to just a few, then we are accomplishing our purpose in presenting Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, and is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.